Hi, this is Robin Heppel from funeralfutures.com, and today I'm continuing our series of on price shopping with Mike Kubasek from Kubasek.com. Mike, welcome to the call.
Hello, Rob. It's good to be with you and everyone else who's online.
Yeah, it's we do have a big audience today, and it's been great. And, you know, we've been doing this thing, our little Price Shopper Awareness Week, and we've had lots of lots of people over the last week commenting on just some of their questions or sharing some of their frustrations on price shopping. And, you know, when we've been, you and I have been talking about this over the last probably 6 months or so, that it doesn't, it's never really been tackled, and it's so important. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that we're going to talk about a little bit today is, sure, there's lots of strategies and you know, how can we win them over, but especially in today's economic times, from a financial perspective, from a competitive perspective, and a longevity perspective, it is very important, and we are going to tackle that today, aren't we, Mike?
Well, we sure are, and I myself have been almost overwhelmed with the tremendous response to this program, and you touched on it just a moment ago. No one is really tackling this critical issue, and I believe this is one of the critical issues that all funeral and cremation and cemetery professionals deal with, is this price shopping, inquiry calls, whatever term you want to use. And what we all know is that the old way of selling, and if you want to use that word selling, and I put that in quotes, but if the old way of trying to gain a client family via the telephone, it just doesn't work anymore, sort of. The old ways kind of went out with leisure suits and bell bottoms. You know, here we are still wearing clothing, but we're in a different fashion. So we're kind of in the same game. And I think that we must change the way we present our services and our value and what we can do for client families to not only break even, but to gain a new business and to reach our goals and to be secure about our dreams. And I think, you know, what's happened in the 90s had an awful lot to do with changing the consumer's processes for us to succeed as funeral professionals. I think we have to make impact on client families. It is no secret that funeral homes, consumers see funeral homes as all being the same, or as cemeteries, all being the same. So the new way, what we've been talking about, in a way kind of uses some of the old way, because you still have to be a master of your expertise in your field. But I believe that we have to present them, employ them in a different way, a friendly way, a sincere way, and most importantly, a way that emphasizes serving first and selling second.
How true.
You know, I run into people who say, you know, selling is an art, and I don't really quite believe that. I believe that selling is a science. I believe that presenting what makes you different and gives you what your value represents to a potential client is much more than an art. I believe that it requires a repeatable set of words, key phrases, great questions, and ideas that move the prospect to choose you over someone else. And I know as a young funeral director, when I began having price calls galore and was continuing to do the same things that my dad was doing and having less and less success, I had to study not only the consumer, but I had to really study what is it that I am saying, what am I trying to do. And it required a lot of experimentation. And I had to decide, I had to find out on my own what worked best. And tragically, there was no place in funeral service where I could go to get this immediate help. And it's a lot of experimentation, which today is being adopted by many funeral homes and many of the largest funeral homes across the nation. And these are proven ways. Proven ways. This is not guessing. We're not shooting from the hip. We're not tossing something out to our listeners and keeping our fingers crossed saying, gee, I hope this works for them. We know this works.
That's right.
We have this new consumer out there, and we can't do, for the 21st century, we cannot do what we were doing the past century. It's an entirely different ballgame. So go ahead, Rob. Start us off.
You bet. Now, just a little bit of housekeeping. If you've just joined us late, we're going to go through. We've got a worksheet available, and so it's been emailed out to you just prior to the call, so you can go to your email program and open that up. Or if you're listening via the streaming web, there's a big silver button in the bottom right-hand corner. And it says worksheet, so you just click on that, and the PDF will pop open into a new window. And make sure you print that off, and just follow along with us as we go through some scenarios on the importance. And sure, there's the painful realities of losing price shoppers, but there's also the joyful realities of winning them, and you'll see how both of those play. So we'll just give you a couple of minutes to do that. Also, you can use the Q&A feature. Mike, it looks like we're going to have to probably stay on for a few more minutes after the top of the hour, because we've got a lot of questions coming in already. And we've had a couple requests for you and I to speak up a little bit louder, if at all possible. If for some reason you can't hear us, we will make the recording available shortly after the program, so you can come back and listen to it and share it with your staff and maybe work through the worksheet again and putting in your own numbers.
I will speak a little louder, and I hope this is an improvement.
That is, yep. I can hear you loud and clear there, Mike. So what we'll do is we'll get... you've got should have checked, Mike, to make sure that you have your sheet available. Do you have your market and price shopper audit sheet available?
Oh, I do.
Okay.
Should we just
begin?
Let's walk through a
scenario.
Sure.
And let's just paint a little picture of a one of the things that I think that I find difficult as a consultant within the industry, and I'm sure you do too, Mike, is that, you know, all those things are a certain way in a certain area. We have so many different scenarios, and, you know, whether we're in metro areas or rural areas, and whether our cremation rate's 90% or 30%, we have to be very careful that we, you know, just from, you know, me being in Victoria with having a 90% cremation rate, I can't just tell someone who's got a 10% cremation rate to do what we do, because, you're going to hurt your 90% burial rate. So, but what we're going to do here is just kind of pick a scenario and follow along with us, And then you can apply this, the same worksheet and audit to your own industry. And it's just great to, I think, to have everything on one piece of paper, and you can just look at that and see kind of where you stand amongst your competition and if there's any room for improvement.
I think what you're saying, Rob, is that you've put together a scenario here for illustration purposes. And while we will go through it with our listeners to ensure that they know how to maybe follow the formula that you have provided, it's going to be important that they look at their own individual business, because every business and in geographical areas, there's great differences. So I agree with what you're saying.
Great. We just had another comment on the worksheet button. So if you've dialed in, you need to either, so if you're listening via the phone line, you need to go to your computer and either check your email address that you use to register for the program, or go to the website at priceshoppersecrets.com/painful-realities, and just then press enter. And then on that page, you will see a silver button with a red arrow pointing to it and a red outline towards the bottom right-hand corner that says worksheet. Just click on that, and a new window will open up with your with the PDF worksheet. So, Mike, this the scenario that we've got here, let's just say it's a smaller, maybe a small town or small city or large-sized town with three competing firms, 600 calls per year. And
talking 600 calls in the market area.
In that market area,
okay.
600 desks per year, and we'll use we'll make just for consistency. Let's talk in numbers of per month, because although we look at ourselves on a we do this many funerals per year or this many calls per year, when we're doing our month to month budgeting, we do it by the month. So let's say then. That there's 50 calls per month in that market area. So in the first box, A1, number of competing firms, write down the number 3.
And that stands for three firms.
Three firms. Your firm, my firm, and another competitor. And then in the next box, A2, for market death rate, put in 50, so 50 calls per month in the market, which equals 600 per year. And then as we're working through that, the first row, the ATBE stands for all things being equal, which they rarely are. But if everything was equal, we would have 33%, so that every firm had the same piece of pie, and it was 33% of the market, and that would be your market share. And then that would equate to 200 calls per year for each firm, or about 16 or 17 calls per month. We can say 17. Okay. So now that's just kind of looking at the overall market share, and let's take a look. The second row that we've created here, row B, is looking at you in your marketplace. And what we have here is you can, for this scenario, we'll put in the number 17 for 17 calls per month, and we're just assuming then that the firm in question is kind of doing the average. And then, so for B2, what is your percentage of the market share would be the same. It would be one-third or 33%. And as we move along, let's take a look at B3. And for revenue per call, so this is your average funeral value, before it used to be so simple because this was just, you know, everyone provided one type of service, or generally there was one type of service, and now we've got probably 10 different service offerings on our GPL. But just for illustration purposes, let's say $5,000 for an average, so that would combine your average burial services of, that maybe are closer to $8,000 or $7,000, and your cremation business, that could be $2,000 or $3,000. And, Mike, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to get a little use some accounting terminology here, but I think it's important for us to figure this out, is what is our contribution? So, meaning, after we pay for our we've got our fixed costs, and we have what are the variable costs? And
I think what you're talking about is your gross margin. What are you left with?
That's right.
What are you left with after you've paid everything?
True. And that, let's say, is $1,000. So this is your, and that would be 20%. So, and looking at this, I got a little flipped around where it says contribution. That should be, the contribution would be $4,000. So in there, let's correct this as we go, the margin would be $1,000. So that's what's going to your bottom line. So we'll make that correction. I'm better on the internet, Mike, than I am on accounting. but I think that's what we need to find out is, you know, what does every service do we put into, what is our profit? And so in this scenario, we would have $1,000. So that would be 20%. And now, Mike, from your experience, I'm sure there's some firms that operate at a higher margin than that, and some maybe at a lower margin. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the thought is you're right there. This is a target number that I believe is realistic most of the time. But again, I stress to all of the listeners, this is for illustration purposes. And we're trying to go through the formula. Rob is going through the formula with you. We're not trying to turn you into accountants. We are trying to give you an easy way so that you can do some calculations on your own. And if your margin is less or more than that, you make the adjustment. But I think for illustration purposes, we're right on.
Great. And, just to recap your, because we did have a question there, your revenue per call would be your average funeral value would go into B3, and then your margin, your profit margin would go into B4.
Right. And what is the number of your revenue per call considering, cremation and burial? How have you combined those to what number?
Five, and we're using 5,000 here in this scenario.
Okay.
So now if we look at the third row, C. How many, Mike? How many price calls would a firm get? If we're looking at, 15 to 20 calls per month. 20% of that would be four. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, I think, again, for illustrative purposes, let's use the number of four price calls a month. Now, again, who we're talking, depending on your area, if you're in Los Angeles or New York City or Florida or St. Louis or most metropolitan areas, you or retirement areas, you may find this number to be substantially higher. And if you are in more rural areas, you may find this number to be lower.
Now, just for our scenario here, Mike, let's say that the firm in question hasn't you haven't spoken to them yet, and so they're only getting one call out of the four.
Okay, let's use that as our example.
Yeah. So in C1 we'll put the number 4. In C2 we'll put the number 1. And so the winning price call rate would be here 25%. So that would go into C3. And now what we're going to do is in C4, let's just do a little bit of a comparison, and you can use this in your own scenario. How well is your winning price call rate equal to or greater than your market share? So here in our scenario, when we compare C3, which is the winning price call rate, versus B2, which is your current market share, which is 33%, here it looks like the firm is underperforming in the area of price calls when we compare 25% to 33%.
Right.
Okay. So now that we've got that, so we've looked at, the first row was looking at our market, second row was looking at our overall operations, and the third row was looking at price shopping. So if we can now look at, let's just say, Mike, that we start winning one more call per month. And what is that going to do for us?
Big numbers. If you look at the 50... if you look at A2, where you see a market death rate of 50 a month, which is your pool, so to speak, and you are getting 17 of those, that means that there are 33 other calls every month going somewhere else. So if you can increase your C3 winning price call rate by a similar 8%, that's a great number of calls. If you are saying to yourself, well, I get 4 price calls a month, which is C1, and I'm able to increase that by 8%, if you're getting 48 a month, and you're already getting 12 of those, that gives you a pool of 36. So you're, again, looking at acquiring a substantial number of new business.
And when we look at the, so just with that, just a quick recap then, and we'll go through this again. I'm getting some questions coming in that people want us to go through this again because they're, probably they haven't really looked at this before. And so just by winning one more call in this scenario, that's $5,000 per month of gross revenue, which is $60,000 per year. An extra in D3 would then be an additional $1,000 of profit margin, which would be $12,000 per year. And you would increase your market rate, your market share would go from 33% to 36%. And now, Mike, let's, lots of questions coming in here. And some people are wondering, well, how come we're going through this exercise? And for those of who have been kind of following us the last week, there's three hours or so of training audio that's on the Price Shopper's website, priceshoppersecrets.com website, where we talked about differentiating and questioning and different things like that. But we, you know, we think it's important just to emphasize the importance of this exercise, because
we wanted to bring to your attention in a dollar and cents way and again in a short period of time to give you a formula for you to really figure out the value of becoming a price shopping answering guru, for the lack of a better word, because we wanted to. We all say to ourselves, okay, I lost a call, but what is that call? What does that call really represent? Sometimes when we lose a call, a customer, or we don't gain a price shopper, sometimes the funeral home personnel is simply relieved that this person is off the phone. But bear in mind that this person still has a need for service. And if they are not saying to you, I want to hire you to be my funeral or cremation person, it's a good bet that this person is going to be doing business with the competition. And you can say goodbye to all of this revenue. But it's not always just a single transaction that we're losing as well. It can be a lifetime's worth. It can be many generations' worth of business. Why are we going through this? Because I believe that as an owner, my staff benefited greatly when I shared these concrete numbers with them. That, yes, I know you were relieved to have this person off the phone. Yes, I know you're saying, it was just another price caller, so no big deal. And that's flawed thinking. That's not good thinking, because it's not always a single transaction that we are losing. So what's it worth? Do the math. And, okay, it's just a cremation, you say. Well, what if it's a customer who's a part of part of your business that accounts for 80% of your revenue? You know, what if this price shopper is a full service funeral that you are not gaining? Okay, it's just a cremation today, but we know that while Grandpa may be cremated today, maybe Grandma 2 years from now when she dies does not want to be cremated and wants to be buried. So this painful reality that we're trying to share with you is, yes, I know as an owner or a manager, you are probably aware of this. How good of a job are you doing explaining this to the staff so that now management reinforces the importance and makes price shoppers a priority? Every revenue dollar that you lose is a dollar that your competitor is earning. And we also know that when people go somewhere else, people talk with other people. The first person he's probably going to talk to is your competitor. And if your competitor gets this call, let me ask you this. Your competitor wouldn't stoop so low as to tell other people in the community about the experience your lost customer had, would he? Oh, no. So there is far more at stake than just, it's a price shopper, and who cares?
But 100 or the 150 people that will be coming, you know, into your facility versus or right. going into their facility, there's, you know, it's, and I think it's so important for us to stress that we're not talking about price matching. We are really stressing that by educating your customers and letting them know how you can make your services more meaningful for them and differentiating yourself from your consumer, price isn't going to be an issue. But, you know, as Mike has stated so many times, when they don't know what to ask, the only thing they're going to ask is about price. And we just assume, we get into this mindset, oh, they're a price shopper, we're going to price match, and we have to save the call. But we're, you know, part of the exercise here is for us to, we're not talking about dropping our prices. We're talking about, you know, if we lose that call, what are we going to lose? So, Mike, how about
I think you have you're privileged to getting the questions, and I don't know what is coming in, but I do know that I think we've given enough information to our callers about how to run the numbers, and they can do it themselves their own way. You know, if you're a funeral home serving 200 calls annually, and 70% of your case volume is burial and 30% is cremation, well, there you are. You've got 140 calls and 60 calls, respectively. If you receive one price call a week, that's 52 calls that you get throughout the year. So you can make your own assumptions or put in your own numbers. And if your average burial revenue per call is $6,000, your average cremation revenue per call is, let's say, $2,500, you've got a good starting call. So now you say, well, I get these 52 price calls a year. Let's just pretend for the heck of it that 50% of these people, or 26 of these price calls, want cremation. You're looking at 26 price shoppers for cremation times your average cremation revenue of $2,500, you have a potential income of $65,000. Now, if you did the same thing with your burial families, assume that 50% of those 52 price calls want burial, or 26 people. So you multiply 26 price calls about burial times your average burial revenue per call of $6,000, you have a $156,000 potential income. So now you add those two numbers together and you've got a total potential income of $221,000 from price callers alone. Well, let's pretend that you only were able to get 50%, or you were able to get 26 new calls from 52 chances. That works out to be $111,000 in added revenue. To me, that means I must make price shoppers a priority. I really have to focus on this because the marketplace is getting tighter. And everybody on the line will agree with me when I say that there will be more price shopping callers. More and more people are using the telephone as their tool. And it's not that they are merely trying to see how much is the price, because if you have listened to the last three seminars that we have done, you have now discovered that people are calling you for far greater things than just price and price alone. So I think our customers or our listeners on the phone, you know, Rob, I learned a long time ago that I'm a funeral director and I'm never going to be an accountant. But and I'm never going to force any of my funeral directing staff or arrangers to become accountants. But I think that you've given them a starting formula.
And I think, again, Mike, just to show the importance of this, and then, you know, you can, you know, the listeners can go through this and work out their own numbers and use that last row and add to it. So what happens if you got two new calls a month or three new calls a month, and
right.
you know that's getting up to Kubasek numbers there, Mike.
That's
when you said that you went just from being average to getting 70% of your calls, and it's you know, that has a huge, huge impact, and as you've stated in your scenario.
That's correct. That's correct. You know, I at the beginning of this conversation, I talked about, you know, the old ways and the new ways and how we have to maybe bring things up to speed because we are now doing business here in the 21st century, and that there are new rules of the game, and really, truly, they are simple, and they can be applied, okay? And it's our challenge to not just use them, but I mean this when I say we need to master them. You know, do we have time, Rob, for me to maybe mention a few of these things?
Sure. By all means, Mike, go ahead.
You know, while we've been talking here and while you were doing your numbers, I was actually thinking about some of these other things.
You were paying attention, Mike?
Yeah, I wasn't. That's right. That's right. You know, Mother Superior, you know, you're not paying attention again. But maybe here are some new rules that our listeners can adopt. We have to say what we are doing in terms of what the customer wants and needs and understand. Now, we have been saying it in terms of what we've got to offer. Let me tell you how great we are. Let me tell you about the options, the unlimited options that we make available. Let me tell you how we can construct a farewell ceremony or a funeral in the way that is meaningful to you. Well, that just isn't working anymore today. We have to talk in terms of what the customer wants, needs, and understands. Number two, we have to obtain personal information now from the person who is calling our firm and be able to use that. Personal information like, you know, what prior experience do you have in making these kinds of arrangements? How familiar are you with cremation planning? How familiar are you with shipment of a deceased person? How familiar are you with our funeral home? Gather this personal information. Customers today want us to be engaged with them. They want to do business with people who ask them the right questions that help them to make the right decisions. Number three, build friendship and trust. I'll say it again. People want to buy from friends, not from salespeople. People buy from you, not from a company. Number four, build a relationship that the competitor cannot pierce. Make it so bulletproof that you are not just caring for them one time, you are building customer loyalty. See, a satisfied customer is likely to go just about anywhere else the next time they need the same or similar product or service. So just merely striving to satisfy is not good enough. We must create loyal customers. Now, I'm going to ask everyone on the telephone, especially those of you who are married or have a significant other, those of you who are married, do you just want your wife satisfied? I know some of you are now chuckling. Well, it's the same thing with your customers. We want loyal customers. And this is a whole new way of doing business because we no longer wear bell bottoms and leisure suits. but we're still wearing clothing. So we are dressing in a higher, more modern, more contemporary, more up-to-date fashion. So must we conduct ourselves on the telephone. The next point is, whenever possible, establish common ground with people. When you get personal information with them, you can establish common ground. When you ask someone, how familiar are you with our funeral home? I have never been there, or I've only been there one time for a funeral years ago, so I'm not real familiar. Or I don't know too much about cremation, but that's something that my father always wanted after he died. You are now able to build a common ground by saying, many other people in the community are just like you. This is a new experience for them. And I want to help you. I want to walk you through this process. And I truly want to be your funeral director for your family. These things make impact. And I'm going to tell you that your competitor is not doing this.